proclaim freedom. To teach this morning. Proclaim freedom. To communicate the truth to these men and women this morning. And I claim freedom for them to receive that which is going to be spoken. Spirit of the living God, arrest all enemies of the word so that they will not stand between me and the hearing of your people. Give us all freedom to be fed at your table. I will be careful to give you the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. James chapter 3. James the 3rd chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. As we bring the word of God to you this morning. You know, usually when I preach, I probably use one scripture and expound on it. You don't teach like that. When you teach, you go from scripture to scripture. And that is going to be my method of ministry this morning. Oh, by the way, Brother Henry is here, his wife and his daughter. So we already fined you $500 before you came. So I don't know what we are going to do now. Maybe we'll still get the $500 from you. It's good to see you. James chapter 3 verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with this very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire can bring. Could you please read verse 6 together with me? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire. Is anybody here this morning that does not have a tongue? I think you will be in the hospital if you give. The fact that you are able to read that scripture along with me shows that you have a tongue. That is one blessing God has given every human being on the face of the earth. And this morning I want to talk about your tongue and about my tongue. You see, last week Thursday, I was coming to church. And I turned on my radio. I was shocked when the breaking news came over WCBS. And it says there is fire in New Jersey. The fire took place in a place called Seaside Park in New Jersey. It was on the boardwalk by the Atlantic Ocean. And this fire consumed 6 blocks of the boardwalk, and it consumed all the businesses that were there. In addition to the boardwalk going up in flames, several businesses that houses that have been there since the 1950s were also bombed to the ground. You know, what is so sad about the devastation of last Thursday is that the area had just been rebuilt with millions upon millions of dollars after Hurricane Sandy last October. So this is less than 1 year. Now comes a fast-moving, raging fire that destroyed everything in its path. You know, fire can be very useful. Yet, it can be the worst enemy that you and I can face. That is why I'm a little bit troubled when I read verse 6. Because God likens one of the parts of my body and one of the parts of your body to fire. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Allow me to read verse 6 again. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell itself. The first thing you see in that verse is the description of the tongue. Two descriptive words. One, the tongue is called a fire. And the tongue is called a world of iniquity. By calling the tongue a fire, it means the tongue has the potential for both good and evil. Because when you look at fire, the same fire that destroyed the boardwalk and the businesses in New Jersey can be used to cook fine meals and keep people who are cold warm. If you look at Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21, I told you you'll be looking at a bunch of scriptures. Proverbs 18 21, we'll find an interesting passage of scripture. Proverbs 18 verse 21. It says, death and what? Life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Hey, that means that this little tongue of yours is a powerful instrument, more powerful than the missiles that President Obama has stationed beside Syria. And it says this tongue has the power for death, and this tongue has the power for life. And then he says something. They that love it, they that love to use it, shall eat the fruit thereof. So that means there is a compensation for every way you use your tongue. If you use your tongue to produce death, you will get death. If you use your tongue to produce life, you will get life. You see, in the design of the tongue by God, it's an awesome handiwork of God. Very soft. Very soft. One of the softest parts of your body, yet it can break anything in its path. A unique muscle. What God has done is that he has attached this muscle at the other end. Unfortunately, it is loose on the other end. On one end, the tongue is anchored. But the other end, it is unchecked and it is free. It is free to bless. It is free to curse. It is free to increase. It is free to decrease. Amazing. The tongue can warm. The tongue can heal. The tongue can strengthen. The tongue can make you laugh. And at the same time, it can make you cry. It can scorch you. It can consume you. It can bring pain and suffering into your life. I like the way the writer of the book of Job describes it. Turn there to the book of Job, chapter 16. In the same book of Job, in chapter 16, you see one description of what the tongue can do. And then in chapter 19, you see another description of what the tongue can do. In Job 16:5, it reads, "But I will strengthen you with my mouth." See what the tongue can do? The tongue can give you strength. "And the moving of my lips shall assuage your grief." Haven't you seen people who are grieving and somebody just walks in and makes one statement and the grief just disappears? The one who has been crying all day begins to laugh because a strengthening tongue was used in a positive way. Now look at chapter 19 of that same book in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. "Then Job answered and said, how long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?" Oh, the tongue is not as sharp as a sword, but when it is done doing its work, it can take a man that is 400 pounds and cut him in pieces. Now look at verse 3. "These," how many times? 10 times. "Have ye reproached me? Ye are not even ashamed that ye make yourselves strange to me." Have you ever been reproached? Have you ever been put down? When they are done with you, you just go inside and cry. The same tongue that made you laugh yesterday can make you cry today. You can understand why James said the tongue is a fire. Because it works for good and it works for evil. But I have a problem. The unfortunate thing this morning is that fire has the distinguishing reputation of evil. When you talk about fire, the first thing that crosses your mind is evil. Classic example. If someone runs from the back of this sanctuary this morning and runs inside the building and shouts the word fire, 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 no one thinks of fine meat being cooked by fire. Am I right or am I wrong? You will think of devastation. You will think of destruction. The first thing you will do is find where the exit is and run out of the building. It is that kind of thought that James had in mind when he wrote verse 6. He said, the tongue is a fire. And then he followed it with a descriptive statement. He said, the tongue is a what? World of what? Of iniquity. Very, very descriptive. A world of iniquity. A tongue. You are carrying a world around you. He did not say the tongue is a city of iniquity. He did not say the tongue is a county of iniquity. Neither did he say the tongue is a state or a country or even a continent of iniquity. Rather, he said the tongue is a world of iniquity. You know why he said that? The world will occupy more iniquity than a state can occupy. This tongue of ours that I'm using to preach this morning has the potential to carry a world of iniquity. You know what is troubling? God records every word of iniquity from your tongue. If you're looking for a recording secretary, God is the best. He never runs out of hard drive. And everything that comes out of your mouth and that comes out of my mouth is recorded on a daily basis. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and verse 37. Please look there with me. This is not one of those sermons where you jump up and run. Listen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. But I say unto you, do you hear? That every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Do you hear that? For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Hey, that is heavy. That by the words that I speak, that are recorded to my name, I shall either be judged, justified, or judged, condemned. You know, when I read this passage, this past week, something crossed my mind. Can I share it with you? I came to the conclusion, like never before, hey, there are no private words. There is nothing like restrictive audience for the words that you speak. There is no, this is between me and you. This is between me and you. You only think it's between you and him. But in actual fact, there is a recording going on for every single word that you speak. It said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. That means it is recorded. Listen to Bishop. Every move of the tongue is permanently recorded in heaven. And it is not a question of who will hear what you say, it is a question of when it will be heard. All of my words and all of your words will be heard on the day of judgment. And will be the final record by which you are justified or by which you are condemned. Are you listening to me, church? Please, what I'm saying to you, take it serious. Because a day will come, if you don't take it serious, that you will be reminded of today. When they call you and they call me, and they're about to decide which way we will go, either to the right or to the left, they will bring out this sermon. If I preach it and I don't live it, I will be of all men most miserable. But if you hear it, you came to church this morning to hear something. So what is the use leaving your house, coming here, only to hear and not do anything about it? Amen. There are no private words. There are no, it's between me and you discussion. There are no, let's keep it between ourselves. When two people stand to talk, or when two people go on the phone to talk, or when two people communicate one way or the other, there is a third person. His name is Heaven's Recording Secretary. And they pack it in the hard drive. They pack it in the hard drive. They, on the judgment day, they replay it to you. They'll say, based on your pronunciations, this is where you go. This is where you go. Look at the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. You know, most people think Malachi chapter 3 is only for tithes and offering. But there is more to Malachi chapter 3 than tithes an offering. One of the closing words of the Old Testament. They are in chapter 3 of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, in verse 16. Watch it. Watch it. They that feared the Lord, what did they do? They speak often one to another. Isn't that what we do? Can you imagine how many people I've spoken to this morning? Just as I came into the church, casual conversations, long conversations, short conversations. I can pick about at least 10 or 15 people that I've already spoken to this morning. And I can imagine after the service, I'm going to speak to many more. They that fear the Lord often speak to one another. Look at the next statement. And the Lord did what? He heard. He heard. He heard. Listen. Somebody's listening. Somebody's listening. You know, there are some things we say, and if the third person hears, we are embarrassed. Hey, if we only knew that God hears, then we'll be more embarrassed. And they that fear the Lord speak often to one another, and the Lord hearkened. It's not usual that the Bible repeats itself. But here it repeats itself. It says, and the Lord hearkened, and did what? And heard it. Why repeat it? So you can know that the one that made the ears is not deaf. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and thought upon his name. What is so sad is many that fear God are not afraid to talk rubbish. Many that fear God are not afraid to say things that embarrass heaven because they think nobody's here. But can I say something to you? The ceiling of where you talk has ears. The wall of where you talk has ears. In case you don't know, we are told that the NSA, the trouble Obama has now, is that people are saying they are listening to our conversation. Forget about Obama. He's just trying to prevent Al-Qaeda from coming here. Worry about heaven. When you say it, ask yourself, will I be proud to have God listen to this? Will I be embarrassed if I saw God silently beside me listening? Now, back in those days, religion has changed. Christianity has changed. You know, back in them days, even the posters that they gave us to put in our homes, they are messages by themselves. We used to have one of them. Christ is the head of this house. You cannot go to your bookstore and find that again. The silent listener. To what? Oh, you used to have that poster. Where are they? They have disappeared. Because now Christianity has changed. That one makes people uncomfortable. That one makes people not to say their mind. That one makes people not to say what they want to say. But my friend, you can say what you want to say, but who has the final say? He'll talk, he'll call you one day and say, didn't you know I was listening to your conversation? Why are you afraid of NSA? NSA will listen, but I even feel sorry for those in NSA that are listening. Honestly, I feel sorry for them. I will never do that kind of job in Jesus' name. Because I just imagine what they will hear. Yee. Things they will, the rubbish they will hear. All the people who are fighting them, they are not fighting them because of Al-Qaeda. They just remember the things they have said. Say, eh, somebody listen. Yes, somebody did. Somebody did. Well, fortunately for you, those in the NSA that listen to how you talk about this and talk about this man, they are not bothered about that. They do the same thing themselves. What they are worried about is trying to protect the country. That's why I keep telling people, why are you worried that somebody is reading your email? Why are you worried? Why are you worried that someone is listening to your conversation? That you must be conversing something that should not be conversed. If you are worried somebody is listening, then there is a problem. Oh, my privacy. Oh, privacy is good. But when you have privacy that is not positive, then you don't want anybody to hear. But I want to say to you this morning, there are no private words, whether negative or positive. God takes note of all of them. But before we close this morning, I want you to pay close attention to that statement. It said, the tongue is a fire. What does it say after that? A world of iniquity. What does the world of the tongue look like? I sat down in my house yesterday examining the world of the tongue. And I said to myself, if I tell Fresh Anointing the world of the tongue, we will not leave here till 5 o'clock. Because the more I read, the more I found out. The more I studied, the more I found out. And I said, wait a minute. There's so much iniquity in the tongue. Hey, there's so much. No wonder the Bible calls it a world of iniquity. Let me show you 5. I just picked up 5 that I know is present in Fresh Anointing. So you can look at your tongue and do something about it. The first most common tongue is the lying tongue. The lying tongue. The lying tongue. In Proverbs chapter 6, stand there with me, verse 16. I told you we read a lot of scriptures, so please turn to them. Don't take these words as my own words. I want you to take them as the words of the Lord. The world of iniquity, the lying tongue. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Did you hear that? God hates these 6 things. Yea, 7. An abomination unto him. What are those 7 things? The first one is what? A proud look. What's the very next one? A lying tongue. You don't go too far before you find the tongue. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Look at verse 18. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Hold on. When the Bible calls the tongue a world of iniquity, you can see it in the 7 sins. Do you notice that in the 7 sins, the tongue took out 3? The tongue took out 3. In verse 16, verse 17, it says, a proud look. And there was the next one, a lying tongue. So that's the tongue again. And then we go right, we go left, we go center, we go middle, and then we come to verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies. That's number 2. And then, he that does what? Soweth discord among brethren. That's the tongue again. Number 3. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 8. Revelation 21. Verse 8. The last book of the Bible. In verse 8. But. The fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters. What's the next statement? And all liars. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know what a lie is? Very simple. There's no black lie. There's no white lie. Every departure from the truth is a lie. Every departure from the truth is a lie. Every falsehood is a lie. And you know what is so bad about a lie? About lying? It's a sin against the soul. It's a sin against people. And it's a sin against God. And God said, I'll throw you to hell for telling a lie. If you only... You know what has become of Christianity today? There's no fear of God again. There's no fear of God. Because if you fear God, you will take the word of God seriously. Or you don't want to go to heaven. He says, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. I didn't write that. Some preachers will not preach that because they are liars themselves. It may be glaring lie. It may be naked lie. It may be bold lie. It may be heaven-defying lie. Or it may just be a distortion of facts. A suppression of the truth. A lie is a lie is a lie. Do you know where it comes from? It comes from the devil. Look at John chapter 8 verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Everybody say after me, say, the devil shall not be my father. But if you are lying, he is. You know, we all have opportunities to lie. When you want to get out of trouble, you lie. When you want to get a blessing, you lie. When you want to get something desperately, you lie. People even confess their lie before they lie it. And they say, God, I am about to lie. And there is nowhere I can lie down if I don't lie. So after I lie, pick me up and forgive me. You are a liar. A world of iniquity. You know what you need this morning? Get your tongue born again. And get it washed. Me that I'm standing before you, I used to be a pathological liar. I was the manufacturer of lies. I'm telling you the truth. They knew me. My friends knew me. When they needed a lie and they couldn't come up with one, they came to me for consultation. I was anointed to lie. But I found out that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things should pass away from your life. All things should become new. You know, I'm around Christians and they are lying. You know what is so amazing? They are letting me know that what they want to lie. And I don't talk. And I just walk away and I say to myself, hey, what has happened to Christianity? They are lying to me like this and I know they are lying. And they know they are lying. And I say, and you want to lie on the bosom of Jesus? Listen, God didn't put Revelation 21:8 because there's nothing else to put. You know, we authors would do things like that. When we want to get a number of pages for our books, we start putting things to fill the book. God is not trying to fill the Bible by putting Revelation 21:8. He put Revelation 21:8 because He wants you to get to heaven. And he said, all life, that includes preachers, that includes workers, that includes black people, that includes white people, all liars. That includes those who are looking for green card, all liars. That includes those who are looking for citizenship, all liars. That includes those who are saying, what will man do? What will man do? There's no other way I can get this thing if I don't lie. Everybody is doing it. What? We live in a world of lies. And if somebody rises up and he wants to tell the truth, then look at him. Look, be willing to die on the truth. And be willing to die for the truth than tell a lie. I used to have a brother-in-law who was a director general of a big government body in Nigeria. My goodness, they hated this man. Because he will say he was the one that brought internet into the Nigerian government. He has a PhD in electronics and electrical engineering. Savvy with computer. Before this man, he will come here and tell me, I want to buy computers for the office, but I don't want to buy it through people in the office. I took him to, forgot the name of the place, very well known place, and I said, ask them how we can get HP. He said, if I tell the people under me to buy it, they will inflate the figures. If it's 10,000, they will say it's 33,000. He said, I'm not going to take that. And you know what? They hated it. Until one day, the president of the country called him. He said, you are the man I've been hearing about. He said, yes, sir. He said, I didn't know people like you are still in this country. Ah, I pray that you will stand out. Holiness, righteousness, purity, truthfulness will make you stand out. What is the difference between us and the sinners where we walk? When we lie like they lie, when we embrace untruthfulness like they embrace untruthfulness, they look at us. That's how they do in my village when they want to do Christian. To be, we are lying together. And now you are telling me I'm going to hell. If I'm going to hell, both of us are going together. As a matter of fact, you will be the one who is holding the door in hell. Don't tell me you are a Christian. I pray that you will live your life in such a way that people will look at you and be afraid. And we say, that man is like Daniel. Oh, that man is like Daniel. That man is like Daniel. He said, others may. I will not. Others may eat the food of the king. I will not. King, give us a chance. All right? Give us the right food. And what you are looking for, you will get it from us. Do you know that what you are looking for lying, you can get it telling the truth? It may take a while, though. It may take a little bit longer, but you will get it and you will get dignity with it. You will get respect with it. It's about time that the unbelievers respect us. It's about time that the unbelievers look at us and say, wow, these are people that are real. I pray that God will make you real. Real on your job. Real in your family. Real in the community. Real everywhere you go. Real among your equals. Real among the people around you. And they say, don't take it to him. Don't take it to him. Don't take it to him. He will mess it up. Like the Christians who say, bring it. Bring his government money. How much is it? Let's tell them that this is what we've got. Whereas it's not what we've got. And you put your signature in it. I'm looking afresh at mountain of people who are ready for heaven. And sin of lying will make us unprepared for heaven. Why do you have to lie? Well, you can tell the truth. Why? Somebody said, tell the truth. And let the devil be ashamed. So that means that the devil is happy when you tell a lie. That's what it is. That's what that statement means. I don't know who coined the phrase, but they must believe that when you tell the truth, the devil is happy. Now, yeah, that's my son. You know how they say in my country? My boy. Hey, my boy. Hey, my boy. My boy. That's what the devil does. can I lie? My God. Then he kisses you. Keep up the good work. And then ultimately you find him on the other side of Calvary. It's not difficult to tell the truth, you know. It's not difficult to tell the truth. And you know what it does? Gives you a clear conscience. You know what I found out about the truth? It's easier to remember the truth than to remember a lie. That's the truth. After you've told lies upon lies upon lies, you're like, They say, what you say now, it contradicts what you said the other time. And then like a politician, you say, no. You misunderstood my words. They did not misunderstand your words. What you said is what you said. May the spirit of truth be upon your life. May the spirit of truth follow you wherever you go. So one of the problems, the tongue, this world of iniquity, is the lying tongue. But let me move on to the next tongue. The next tongue I have here is in Psalm 12. Verse 3. Psalm 12, verse 3. And the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. I'm not even talking about flattering tongues. That one is not part of my agenda today. But there's another tongue here. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that does what? That speaketh proud things. Look at verse 4. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips is our own. Who is Lord over us? Do you know the most annoying people on the face of the earth? They are those with proud tongues. Let me tell you the problem with a person with a proud tongue. A proud tongue usually comes with closed ears. People who are proud-tongued are generally so full of themselves that they learn so little from anyone else. Proud-tongued people generally, I repeat, are so full of themselves that they learn so little from anyone else. And when you are a Christian and you are proud-tongued, it's easy to know you. You know what proud tongue people do? They talk a lot about their knowledge. They talk a lot about their accomplishments. They talk a lot about their visions. They talk a lot about their revelations. It is sad that a proud tongue Christian is hard to teach. There are people that are difficult to reason with because they know everything. Before you say A, they have said B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M. Oh, another department of the proud tongue is the boasting tongue. The boasting tongue. You know, the Bible says the tongue is a little member, but it boasts of great things. Boasting results from an overestimation of ourselves and an underestimation of other people. Boasting is selfishness. Manifesting itself in words. Boasting comes from an inflated mind. Venting itself in words that are full of wind. But you know what you show when you boast? You show weakness. You show littleness. You show ignorance when you boast. You show vanity. You show self-conceit when you boast. And you show arrogance. And you show pride. Yet, it is a sin we meet on a daily basis. Because people just delight to talk about themselves. About their sayings. About their doings. Puffing themselves up above measure. You know, in the process, they destroy the reputation of other people. They downplay the achievements of other people. That their own may appear to be grand and towering. Give that tongue to Jesus. So that when you speak with lowliness. You speak tongue I want to talk about this morning is the overused tongue. Overused tongue. Generally, women speak 35,000 words in a day. Stop looking at your wife. Women, generally, they speak about 35,000 words in a day. That's a lot of words. None of my books have 35,000 words in them. Men speak generally 25,000 words a day. So they speak less. Unfortunately, this woman is at home. And there's no one to talk to. The children have gone to school. It's only all my children, when she's watching it, she talks to the actors. So by the time you get home, she has only expended 5,000 words. And then you come in, you have expended your own 25,000. In fact, you have spoken 26. And so your wife gets on and she just wants to talk. Hey, how was the day? And then you keep quiet and she looks at you and says, why are you ignoring me? She's trying to blow her 25,000. Overused. Look at Proverbs 17:27. I want to give you knowledge. That's why I told you I prepare food for you that will sleep you and spare you and bless you. Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge. You hear that? What does it say? Spareth his words. He that hath knowledge. Spareth his words. That means that the one that doesn't speak much is what? Is wise. Wise. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Did you hear me? Now, I love New York. New York is a beautiful place to live. Many of you don't realize that. New York is a beautiful place to live because everybody in New York has an accent. But I live in the South. I lived in Alabama. What this my accent got me in, you'll never believe. The moment I open my mouth to speak like this, they look, where are you from? In New York, nobody ever asks anybody, where are you from? Because everybody's from somewhere. But it's not like that in the South. So I changed my mind. When I go out, I don't talk. I'm telling you the truth. We go to a restaurant like this. The lady who is serving will say, what do you want in the menu? I'll just put my finger like this. Listen. What will you drink? I'll look at where the soda is. He thinks I'm from California. But the moment I open my mouth like this, and I say, I want broccoli. Give me broccoli. You say, what is broccoli? We don't have broccoli here. What is broccoli? Let the church say. You wonder where I got broccoli from. My wife and I traveled from Alabama to New York several years ago. And we stayed in an hotel by LaGuardia. There is a diner beside LaGuardia Airport that we went to eat. Now, you know, in the South, we never had any Hispanic or anybody with an accent serving food. So this young guy, I don't know where he came from. Maybe he's Italian or he's Spanish or what it was. I don't know. And he came. He said, what do you want? Do you want broccoli? I looked at my wife. I said, we are even better than these people in New York. We are even better. We don't call it broccoli. If you don't know what broccoli is, I will take you to the restaurant. We'll tell you what it is. Verse 27 of Proverbs 17 says, he that spareth
He that hath knowledge speareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is accounted what? Even an African with a heavy accent, when he holdeth his peace, you would think he was born in Kentucky. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Flip your Bible a few pages forward to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2 and verse 3. Overuse tongue. Be not rash with thy mouth. You hear that? Be not rash with it. But let not thine heart be hasty to order anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Now look at verse 3, folks. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. People think they appear smart when they talk. I have one or two of you in this church. Just pray for you seriously. You think you are smart. You are a smart man. So you talk. But the Bible says the very opposite. Much talk, much problems. Less talk, less problems. Oh, angel. Listen. What you say and what it is. You know what I pray for you? That God will give you a quiet spirit, a quiet disposition that will touch your tongue, that your tongue, your mouth will not be an overuse. Let me give you two more. Number four, the backbiting tongue. The backbiting tongue. A backbiter is exactly what it says. Someone who bites you on the back and you don't see them. A backbiter is someone who uses his tongue against you when you are not around. Turn to somebody and tell them, I never do that. See, you can't even talk. I'm glad the message is simple. A backbiter is someone who uses his tongue against you when you aren't around. Yet, when they see you in your face, they give you an impression they never talk about you. Number one, you are a coward. Forgive me for talking straight. If you can say it behind his back, why can't you say it in his presence? If you can say it behind his back, why are you telling them, please, don't tell him all that you are a coward? You are not as bold as you really think you are. You are not as strong as you really think you are. You are weak. You stir up problems, but you never solve the problem. The backbiting. When a backbiting tongue comes to you, drag them away with your countenance. I ask people, this thing you are telling me, can you say it in this person? I found out that my church in Nigeria, most of them came from a background where they like to talk. So when we started Fresh Anointing, they were coming to me, knowing that I'm not in Nigeria, to talk about the people I put in positions of authority. One of them came to me one day and said, the person you put in this Lagos church is going to take the church. He's planning to take the church, and he will turn the church into his name.
Sorry. Sorry. I told my usher, go and call the restaurant. So
I said, no. This is in confidence. This is between me.
I said, go and call him.
Then, like we Africans do, he was on his face in front of me. He said, don't spoil me. Don't destroy me, please. And I looked at him and said, you are an old, useless man. I said, the man you are talking about, I know him. I know his spirit. He can never, and he will never do a thing like that. I said, beyond that, if he takes this church, I will be happy. Because that's one less load for me to carry. That is one less judgment, one less account for me to give on the judgment day. And I went behind the pulpit and I said, I did not mention his name. But I said, somebody came to me. And the man was sitting there. I said, somebody came to me and said, you want to take the church? I said, I knew it's not the truth. Because I know you. And he came to me and said, who is it? I said, I will not talk to you. But the person now, when he comes to greet me, he will just greet me and put his car in reverse and go. He will never open his mouth. An angry countenance will drive away that biting tongue. That's what the Bible says. But many of us have an inviting tongue. In fact, we are the ones who we call. Anything new? What is the latest? But may God give you a tongue that an appearance in your eyes that would, why are you talking about him when he's not here? If you want to talk about him, bring him. Let's talk about it. Many believers will not make it to heaven because of their tongue. Let me give you one more and then we'll go. This is a common one. The tail-bearing tongue. The tail-bearing tongue. Leviticus 19:16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a tail bearer among thy people. Let all fresh anointing say amen. This is our people here. This is our members here. This is our church here. Don't go up and down as a tail bearer among our people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Proverbs 20:19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. You hear that? Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Flip your Bible a few pages backwards to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the bed. You know, when you go and tell tales to people, you are doing them more harm than good. Some things is better, some people don't hear it. Honestly. And in this work that I am doing, 3 days is usually my maximum. When I hear something, I may not be able to sleep for 3 days. After 3 days, I get healed. Then I go forward. But many times I will wish I never had. Tail bearers, carrying tales, carrying stories, spreading all sorts of thoughtful information. And Satan will use that information to hinder the work of God. A victim of tail-bearing is really a wounded person. It's a wounded person. God forbid that you as a Christian will wound another Christian. But it does happen all the time. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. And you know what? Many times, the stories that and is completely destroyed.
Let me show you what I mean. Uncle Mark.
You hear me? You should smile after I tell you that. Gossip is very good. Let me tell Auntie again what I told you. Let me tell you. Tell me. No, no, you have to tell me. In the ear. Get closer. Kato-ha. You don't let me talk to somebody. Yeah. You hear it? Come. My sister, come. Come and speak. Let me tell her. What I told him, he told you. Yeah. Okay, come, my sister, come. Okay, come. Let me tell you. We have not even come to the back, or this is the front of it. Go back to your seat. This fine lady, let me tell her what she told you. Yes, okay. Let me stand. Start this seat. Let me go to start this seat. The one that sings for us. Let me go to her and tell her what she told you. When you get to her, she'll let you know. There she is. There she is. There she is. She wants to hear it properly. Stabisi, don't worry. They will tell you. They will tell you. This thing is longer than the one I said. It's getting longer, folks. It's getting longer. Stabisi, you have heard it. Make a note of it. Help me go. Lillian, you are here. I didn't know you'd be here today. Sabisi, come to Lillian and help me tell Lillian what she told you. Are you understanding my illustration? You will see what I told you. By the time you hear what I say, you will say, Jesus. Come, Lillian. Did she talk to you in French or in English? Good. Let me tell Sonny. Sonny, hear what this I say. Tell me. Very good. Finally, Dr. Silas, what are you thinking about? Come and test Dr. Silas. He's thinking. He's meditating. Tell Dr. Silas. And Dr. Silas, when he tells you, come to the front and tell the church what I said. This is getting long. All right, Dr. Silas, come. Oh, you don't want to be the last? Come. You know, Dr. Silas is an intelligent man, so he understands it very well. Watch this now. Watch this. What did he tell? Dr. Silas, say it loud. You are not gossiping. We're just giving an illustration. Right, that my path is not a path, and my red is not a red. Give him a big hand if you will, please. My path is not a path. My red is not a red. Hey! Is that what I told you, Uncle Mark? That is a million miles away from what I told Uncle Mark. I told Uncle Mark, I said, a rat is a rat. A bird is a bird. But a bat is neither one of them. Is that not what I told you? Something like that. Did you? Everybody rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. It says something like that. Oh my God. Something like that. I pray that our mouths will be sanctified mouths. Our tongues will be tongues that are purged and cleansed. That our tongues will build up. It will not destroy. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say, my Father, my Father. Say, lay your hand on my tongue. And let it be used for your glory. Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I bring my tongue before you this afternoon. I pray that you will lay your hand upon my tongue. You will remove everything from my tongue that is not of you. You will remove everything from my tongue that does not honor you. You will remove everything from my tongue that does not glorify you. You will remove everything from my tongue that does not please you. I pray, oh God, sanctify my tongue. Put my tongue in the blood of Jesus. Purge it and cleanse it and purify it this afternoon. Come on, open your mouth and talk to the Lord this afternoon in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, touch my tongue. Touch my tongue. Everything that is not of you from my tongue, I pray that you will remove it from me this afternoon. I want you to pray that the Lord will deliver you from a lying tongue in the mighty name of Jesus. I tell the Lord to remove lying from your tongue in the name of Jesus, that the Lord will remove from your tongue everything that has to do with deception, everything that has to do with boasting, everything that has to do with pride, everything that has to do with iniquity. I want you to say that the Lord will deliver you from a backbiting tongue, from a tail-bearing tongue in the mighty name of Jesus. I wanted to pray that the Lord will help you, that your words will be few words, that you'll not be blah, 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 just talking. That the Lord will deliver you from idle words. I wanted to pray that whatever you have used your mouth for that is not honoring to God, that is not glorifying to God, that the Lord will purge you, the Lord will cleanse you, the Lord will purify you in the mighty name of Jesus. I wanted to pray that God will help you not to cut people down with your tongue, not to say about people's tongue in the mighty name of Jesus, not to ridicule people in the mighty name of Jesus, not to be a repeater of lies in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, make us a church where our tongues are wholesome and our tongues are clean. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. As I saw the vision of the Lord. And he said, I'm a prophet, but I'm a man of unclean lips, because I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Father, around us are lips unclean. And many times we become a product of our environment. But as the coal of fire from the altar touched the tongue of Isaiah, let the coal of fire from your altar touch every one of our tongues in the name of Jesus. The same tongue with which we use for blessing, how can we use it for cursing? I pray that everything negative, everything unwholesome, everything ungodly, you will sweep them out of our mouths in the name of Jesus Christ. That from today when we open our lips, there will be lips that speak purity. There will be lips that speak wholesomeness. Daddy, I thank you. I blessed you for the answer. Thank you, Daddy, for the answer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen. The children sing a song that I want us to close with this morning. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above.
is looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above. He's looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. Sing it with me.
Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above. He's looking down above. So be careful, little mouth, what you say.
Sing it one more time.
Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above. He's looking down above. So be careful, little mouth, what you say.
Sing it one more time.
Be careful, little mouth, what you say.
Be careful.
Be careful, little mouth, what you say.
There's a Father.
There's a Father up above. He's looking down above.
Be careful, little feet.
Be careful, little feet, where you walk. Be careful, little feet, where you walk.
There's a Father.
Be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father from above. He's looking down.
So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see.
Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see.
Be
careful, little mouth, what you say.
Be careful.
Be careful, little mouth, what you say.
There's a Father.
There's a Father. He's looking down. Be careful, little mouth, what you say.
Put your hands together and give the Lord a big hand this morning.